Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and I'm here with your host, Dr. James Dobson. Today, we're going to be talking about a new organization that is committed to giving boys a place to be boys and helping them become courageous young men who grow up to honor God with their lives.
Dr. Meeker, I'm really pleased to have our guests here today, and I'm excited about the topic that we're going to be talking about. We are going to be discussing an organization, fairly new organization, called Trail Life USA. This is a new Christian outdoor adventure program for boys. If you have boys in your home and you want to focus their development on character and leadership and biblical principles, Trail Life may be the place you want to channel them. Mm-hmm. Trail Life started in September of 2013, and they've already been growing like Topsy. And it was created in response, frankly, to changes made in the Boy Scouts of America. And those changes created a vacuum in some aspects of moral training. And Trail Life stepped up to fill that vacuum. That makes them of great interest to us. Dr. Meeker, why don't we start by your introducing one of the key men who was responsible for starting this initiative?
I'd love to. We have with us Mark Hancock, who is the CEO of Trail Life USA, as well as an award-winning writer and an international conference speaker. He's been an associate pastor, a global events director, and a marriage and family therapist specializing in father issues. As one of the founding members of Trail Life USA, he's been there from the beginning. So he has many great stories to share with us about how they started and where they're going. Mark, welcome, and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker. It's a pleasure to be here with Dr. Dobson.
Mark, elaborate on the concerns and needs that led you and the others to the development of Trail Life.
Okay. Well, we recognized for some time that Boy Scouts was departing from some of its traditional values. And there came a point where there were a number of people who were involved with Boy Scouts who just couldn't really stomach the changes that Boy Scouts was coming through.
Are they pretty dramatic?
It's pretty dramatic. In May of 2013, they announced that they would open their membership to open and avowed homosexual boys. And then later on, a year or so later, they announced that for leaders also.
That's the portion that worries me, that concerns me, to have gay scout leaders. And how widespread is that now?
Well, you know, we don't track that. All we know is that there was an environment there and that there was an acceptance of a real cultural change that you're familiar with, that you've warned us about for years. There was an acceptance there that we just felt was not biblical. And frankly, that's Christ-centered men who were interested in adventure and character and leadership and raising the next generation of young men. We really felt like it was in God's heart to do something that really honored him. And I think it was in his heart a long time before this. Honestly, you know, what we see happening in Trail Life is just really confirming that I think that this is something that God's wanted for boys for a long time.
Now, this is primarily an outdoor program.
It is.
It is camping. It is hiking. It is out and about.
It starts in kindergarten. So a lot of the younger boys aren't camping, but we start with the younger boys and we're training them in those kind of outdoor skills and just boy skills, Dr. Dobson, helping them to get together and enjoy the outdoors and enjoy being boys and enjoy the adventure of hanging out with their dad and doing things. So the younger age is that. And then as they move into the middle grade, then they're starting to do some of those outdoor adventures and things like that. And then in high school, they're getting into some of the higher adventures.
There are fewer and fewer places where boys can be with boys and be a boy today, aren't there?
Yeah, and it's really tragic. Really tragic, man. That's talking to you. You know this better than anybody. You know, it really hasn't become a culture that's friendly to boys just being able to be boys. And so we feel like a Trail Life USA, and we acknowledge the masculinity of a young man. We don't apologize for that, and we create an environment where boys can be with boys and mentored by good Christian men. And have a good time together.
And a lot of fathers are involved.
A lot of fathers.
You encourage fathers to participate and be there.
We really do. We have it in our organization, something called a registered adult, and we allow the adults to become members. And they don't necessarily have to be a leader in terms of running the troop or being on a committee or something like that, but they can attend the meetings with their sons because we really encourage that. And so all of those leaders are – we do background checks and child and safety youth protection training. So we're creating a culture of a safe place for boys to be boys, and we're encouraging the fathers to be a part in that. And there's dozens of stories that I can tell you of fathers who for the first time are going out camping with their sons and enjoying, you know, where maybe on their own they may be a little bit hesitant to go down to the store and buy a tent and go out and do something. But with a group of men, group of other men heading out with their sons, they'll go out and they'll do that, and they're finding that they're really enjoying that time with their sons.
You know, Mark, as I sit here listening to you describing what you do, it just makes my heart want to jump out of my chest. Because as a pediatrician and, you know, having seen boys grow up, and I've been at this for about 30 years, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think we're living in a culture that really is anti-male. Mm-hmm. It certainly is anti-father, but that sentiment trickles down to boys. We feel like if we're going to support boys and teach them how to be men, that somehow we're anti-woman, mm-hmm. which doesn't make any sense at all. But this is so terribly important for young boys to have an opportunity like this, because you know those teen years are mm-hmm. all about learning how to be a man. Particularly, you think of all the young men who have single moms, and they're raised by single moms, and these moms are trying to do the best they can, but they can't introduce them to, you know, what it's like to be a man. Do you ever reach out and take kids out of areas that are underserved at all?
Well, we would like to do that. Now, our troops are all individually organized. We have almost 700 of them across the country in 48 states.
48 states now.
48 states,
wow.
Since 2013.
Yeah. Actually, our launch was January 1st, 2014, and we had 500 troops in line on that first day.
That the changes in the Boy Scouts of America created a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Do you see it that way? You guys came in and filled that vacuum. Those are my words, but are they accurate?
Well, I'll tell you what's remarkable, Dr. Dobson, is that half of our troops were formerly Boy Scout troops, which is exciting to me because now we have churches who for years, for one reason or another, didn't charter a Boy Scout troop. But Trail Life comes along, and half of our troops are churches that never before had an adventure organization for boys inside their church. And they're seeing the power of the evangelistic outreach. Because if you've had a boy who's been inviting his neighbor to church to come to Sunday school for years and can't get him to come to that, but now he says, hey, we're going canoeing this weekend, or we're going rock climbing this weekend. Now those kids are on board, and we're seeing churches who are really appreciating the outreach qualities of a Trail Life, a USA troop.
And what a great concept. You know, I look back on my childhood, and the happiest days of my life, those that I remember with greatest fondness mm-hmm. were the times I spent with my father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we were out together, when he didn't have anything else to do but to focus on me. Mm-hmm. We bonded together as dad and son early on. He started taking me hunting when I was 8. Mm-hmm. I carried a BB gun, but he made me feel like a man out there. And then at 12, I had a 22, and at 13 or 14, I got a 410 shotgun.
Wow.
And the times we had together, I just cherish them.
Yeah.
And when my dad was dying, literally dying, and I was on a plane going to the hospital where he was in Kansas City, that's what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. I was riding along there reminiscing of the times with my father. Mm-hmm. And most boys today, or many, many, many of them, maybe the majority, don't have time with their dads.
Right. They don't. And a lot of times it's just the dads just – they haven't been taught how to do that. We've missed a whole generations of fathers doing that for sons. And as you were telling that story, I've been so blessed to be able to watch that, to be able to watch a young man – and know in my heart, see the reaction on his face, and know this moment that he's experienced with his dad, this is going to stick with him for his whole life.
He'll remember it.
It changes him.
Will, absolutely. I remember there was a father that I met at a campsite. He'd just gotten up in the morning, and you could tell he was a new camper. In fact, I had seen him the day before open up the trunk of his car and take out the tent still in a box and rip it open, take the tent out and take his sleeping bag out of a bag and set it up for the first time. And the next morning, he's standing there. It's kind of a cool morning. He's got a cup of coffee. And he says to me, thank you. And I said, thank you for what? He said, thank you for that. He said, this is the most time I've ever spent with my son. And as if on cue, Dr. Meg, as if on cue, this little six-year-old boy comes running up to him, throws his arms around his dad's leg, just gives him a hug, and then just takes off.
Did you cry?
And Dad's standing there with a cup of coffee, and both of us, you could tell both of us just kind of choking back, a little lump in our throat there. But can you imagine how many times that's being repeated over and over again? And that little boy, the power of that moment, and imagine that Saturday may have been spent if it wasn't for that opportunity, with him sitting in front of the TV watching cartoons and Dad, you know, doing something else, working in the garage or something.
Dr. Meeker, you mentioned a moment ago that boys are not born knowing how to be male. Many people don't know that. That's not something that comes natural to a boy. He has to learn it, and he is not going to learn it from his mother.
Right.
I mean, I don't mean anything insulting here. She gives him tremendous strength, and the things that she contributes to him can't be measured. But what he will become as a man has to come from another man, another male, and hopefully his father. And if not that, then a surrogate who will invest in him. And that's what you're trying to provide, isn't it?
We are. When a family joins a troop. Or when a mother, when you have a single mother who brings her son in the troop, she knows she's entering an environment that's Christ-centered, that's male-focused, that's male-led, and she knows that every adult there has been background-checked, who understands child safety, youth protection training, understands how her son is going to be greeted and honored and respected and lifted up. And so it's a wonderful place for single moms, and we're seeing that happen all the time. I was in Virginia about a year ago, and we had an event there, and we went out. We had a bonfire outside afterwards. Mm-hmm. We were standing around the bonfire, and a woman came up to me and said, "Thank you very much." And I said, "Well, thank you for what?" And she said, "I have to tell you," she said, "10 years ago, my husband died and left me with a 2-year-old son. And I got to tell you now that my 12-year-old son is a navigator in Trail Life USA, and he's surrounded by Christian men who are raising him, and my husband would want me to thank you for that."
Oh,
isn't that powerful? To know that God, you know, he cares about boys. He does. He's a father to the fathers. And he steps into that gap when we offer ourselves, when we say, "Here we are, God, use us for these boys that are being raised in this culture where they don't know who it is that they're supposed to be or what it's supposed to be. Use us in raising up these young
men." And I, you know, so many times I get questions from single mothers or, you know, say, "I understand the importance of fathers because I talk about fatherhood a lot too and advocating for fathers," and they feel very despondent. "But what do I do? You know, my husband's gone. He's not interested in communicating with our kids. Is there hope for my kids?" And I say, absolutely, there's hope for your kids, but you need to find good men to expose your boys to so they can see good men and figure out how they live. Because boys are very visual people. Mm-hmm. They need to see a good man walk and talk and hug and put up a tent in order to become one. And how wonderful that you have an organization like this that can really meet the needs of those boys. Because I just want to stress how critical this is to healthy psychological and even physical development for especially teenage boys if they don't have a dad in the home.
Absolutely.
You know, we're talking to many, many single mothers out there today whose husbands have either passed on or have left or the divorce has occurred or they're abusive or there's an alcoholic problem or other things. And those mothers are struggling trying to up these kids, and especially boys. My book, Bringing Up Boys, was written largely for those women who did not grow up with brothers, some of them, and they don't know how men are different than women. They don't know how boys are different and what's normal. Why, boys are extremely energetic, and they do things, they think differently than their girls. And so these mothers come to us and say to us, "What do I do? Mm-hmm. I really am not equipped to deal with this." Well, Trail Life is one of the answers.
You know, my heart breaks for those boys who don't have a male mentor, a male role model.
So you have a lot of boys that come who don't have fathers at home.
Absolutely. We encourage that. Whenever I talk to our folks, say, "You make sure that you're reaching out to these boys who don't have fathers." Because God is a father to the fatherless, and if you want to see God move, you offer yourself to Him. Say, "God, bring me a young man that needs a father." And God will move all over your life to make sure you have exactly what you use, because there is such a hunger on the boy's part for somebody to show him how to be a man.
Mark, I'm curious. I'm imagining your troops of boys walking through the woods, pitching tents, canoeing, whatever. If you are working with a lot of boys who don't have male models, role models in their lives, that means that they might be acting out in certain ways. Do you have trouble with behavior issues in your organization amongst the boys?
I think it wouldn't be boys if we didn't have behavior.
I mean, aside from wrestling and hitting trees and chopping things. But, you know, that's a real struggle. And that's what I see
it
in my office
struggle.
Is a lot of boys who don't have a dad around. Honestly, a teenage boy can be out of control to the point where he's going to hurt somebody.
Yeah. Well, when you can create a culture and we do the best we can to help our troops and our leaders to figure this out. When you can create a culture that kind of adjusts its behavior. So the boy's just not behaving for a teacher, a single teacher in a classroom, but he's behaving for that whole group of boys because there's a behavioral standard that's being set in that group to where everybody in the group is looking at him saying, no, we don't act that way. When you can create that kind of environment, now you've got a whole culture surrounding that young boy. And it's difficult. I won't tell you it's not difficult. Some boys don't make it. You know, they'll get in there and the troop just doesn't quite know how to engage with those kind of behaviors or handle those things or to bring that boy along. But more times than not, those boys are finding their way. We had a young man show up at a troop in South Carolina, and I remember the troop leader told me that his mother called a couple weeks later and said, I need to talk to you. And he said, uh-oh. He said, what? Mm-hmm. He wasn't familiar with the mother or the father. He said, what's up? He said, well, Jimmy's been coming home and praying all the time. And he said, okay. He said, I just need you to know that we don't pray in our house.
Oh.
But now that Jimmy's been praying over the meals and he prays every night before bed, well, we're starting to pray now. We just want to make sure it was okay for us to attend one of your meetings sometime.
No.
So that culture of him seeing those other boys pray mm-hmm. and those other boys step up, not only is he being led by a Christian mentor, but he's being led by peers and shown how to act with. Because in what other environment do you have that?
Yeah.
Where you're dealing with, just boys all together. Where else do you have that? Where they get the opportunity to see, how am I supposed to act? How do I act in a group? And we're seeing that make a difference.
You know, men frequently don't know how to relate to a boy. Mm-hmm. And so they're worried about what I'll do. What do we talk about? How am I going to teach him, train him? They're very uneasy mm-hmm. with that task. I would think joining your organization would give them a resource to help them do the job of mentoring.
Yeah. Now, we're finding broken men who are coming to our meetings, either as fathers or just men who are interested in mentoring boys or being outdoors involved in that kind of thing. And they're finding fellowship there in other men, and they're seeing other fathers raise their son, and they're learning how to raise their own sons, and they're learning how mm-hmm. to step up their game too. So we're not just mentoring boys, we're mentoring fathers.
Yeah. And you've got a couple of great kids just on the other side of the glass here in the control room.
I kind of like them.
And they came in. We had a chance to get acquainted with them. Mm-hmm. Those are fine young men. You're obviously, you got a personal motive for this investment, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Luke and Logan are my sons. They're 16 and 14 years. I'm incredibly proud of those two young men. They're both trailmen in Trail Life USA, our highest award. And Trail Life USA is the Freedom Award, and Luke is one of the first recipients of the Freedom Award.
Yeah.
So we do have a very robust awards program where boys advance through that. But we don't do it on an individual program. We do it on a patrol method. So the boys are doing all of that growth and all of that learning in a group, and that's how we're building the character. That's how we're building the leadership qualities, because the boys are doing, they're accomplishing these things together. They're learning how to tie knots, how to go hike, how to set up a tent, how to hike, how to do all those outdoor skills. They're learning those things together, and they're being rewarded along the way. We have what we call trail badges, and the trail badges, Dr. Thompson, they're metal discs that are nailed to a wooden standard, which is like a walking stick, a hiking stick.
Well, how about individual accomplishment? Do you have something equivalent to an Eagle Scout, for
Absolutely.
Example?
Absolutely. The Freedom Award is our equivalent to the Eagle Scout, something very similar. In fact, we allow boys to transfer into Trail Life USA from Boy Scouts America, and they can transfer their awards into Trail Life And when you transfer in as an Eagle, it takes about a year and a half after you're an Eagle Scout to achieve the Freedom Award. It's a little more difficult to get and has some faith elements that aren't present in the Eagle Award. But we do have the Freedom Award as our highest award.
Hmm. Do you function very much like the Boy Scouts in schedule? You know, do you meet with boys once a month, you know, after school and then take them on to trips? Or is this just an organization that takes them away, you know, once a month? Or how do you function?
The troops meet on a weekly basis. Typically, we'll meet in a church. 99% of our troops are chartered by a church. And they'll meet in the church, and they'll have their announcements and their pledges and things like that. And then they'll break off into their patrols, and they'll work on different achievements. And then usually once a month or so, they'll go out and they'll take those skills that they learned at the meeting out into the outdoors.
How long are they out there?
For the weekends, usually weekend camping. And then usually there's some kind of summer adventure where they'll go away for a week, and they'll do some other big adventure things.
They go fishing and—
Fishing and hiking and canoeing and bouldering and— Zip lining and mountain climbing and caving and orienteering, paddleboarding, kayaking.
You got room for another guy?
Hey, I'd like to.
That sounds fun to me.
It's a lot of fun, Dr. Dobson.
Now, Mark, there are other organizations: Royal Rangers, Calvinist Cadets. How are you different from other Christian organizations like those?
We like to talk about four things that specifically make Trail Life unique, and it kind of answers your question in that. One is we're male-centered, male-focused. Where else can you go in this politically correct culture and just say, no, it's just this is an all-boys club. This is who we are. And we're Christ-centered, and we're trans-denominational. And that's what's different between us and some of the other organizations. And the wonderful organization has been around for a long time, but they're usually denominationally specific.
Oh, okay.
We're trans-denominational, and we even charter Catholic troops. And so sometimes it's good for them to be around some other Christian boys of slightly different faith.
Do boys have to give a statement of faith before they come in? And, I mean, do you take kids that haven't made a commitment to Christ? Or how do you handle that?
The boys don't. You know, we consider ourselves evangelical. And even though all of our adults sign a statement of faith and adhere to it's a pretty typical statement of faith, and they're background checked and they do a child safety youth protection program, our boys can be of no faith or any faith at all and join.
Okay.
Well, our guest has been Mark Hancock. He is the CEO of Trail Life USA, and we've been talking about just a wonderful program for boys, for fathers, and for men who would like to mentor boys. I've taking the time to learn a little bit about this organization, and I really think it is worth the time of parents, especially single mothers, but fathers too, because you want the involvement of fathers. Mm-hmm. How can they get in touch with you, Mark?
Go to our website, traillifeusa.com. All kinds of information there on how to find a troop or how to begin a troop, traillifeusa.com.
Okay, and talk to the pastor who would like to have a program in his church.
Pastors, you'll want to visit the website and see what it is that we're all about. It takes five adult leaders in a church. And I would want to just encourage the pastors. We consider ourselves an outreach of the local church. We're not looking for a place for our troops to meet. We're looking for a ministry for our troops to function out of. And so the churches that are chartering Trail Life troops are finding that their churches are growing because you're bringing in people from the community who are coming
in. So it's an outreach.
We see ourselves as an outreach of the local church. We don't see ourselves as just using a church building meeting. We have a very integral relationship with that local church. We have a key person called the charter organizational representative that links our troop to that church, and we'll never break that bond. We want that association with that local church so we can help them in their mission.
And you're a 501c3.
A 501c3, yes, sir.
You have a board of directors.
We do.
Are you in ECFA?
Not yet. We're too young for that, but we've got that on our radar.
Good. I'll check in again with you. Thanks for being with us. There's more that we have to talk about here. Will you be with us next time?
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming.
Wow, what a great new opportunity for boys. You can see why Dr. Dobson is so excited about this organization. This male-centered, unapologetically Christian ministry is changing the cultural landscape. They're creating a generation of young men who will honor God and lead with integrity. and they're having a lot of fun along the way. Look for a Trail Life Troop in your area, and if there isn't one, prayerfully consider starting one. We have a link to Trail Life USA on our website, drjamesdobson.org. You'll find all the information you need to get the boys in your world involved in trail life. Or call us at 877-732-6825, and we'd be happy to help you find out more about Trail Life USA. If you missed any part of today's program or would like to check out some past programs, find us on Facebook and listen 24/7. That's facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And be sure to tune in next time to find out more about how Trail Life USA is raising up a generation of courageous young men. God bless you, and we'll see you back here for the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.